Amen. I know that Denny finished 2 Peter, but I'm going back to it because I just felt like for the last few weeks I've been feeling like I was supposed to preach on Psalms 1. And when I read the last part of 2 Peter, I immediately thought, this is Psalms 1. You know, Psalms 1 teaches you how to do the end of the last few verses of Peter. So we're going to both places. We're going to start in 2 Peter chapter 3. He taught the hard stuff. I'm going to just teach the good stuff. And so, thank you, Denny. I have so much confidence in him that he is always going to bring you a word of the Lord. But this week, I've never seen him stop and say, I believe the Lord spoke to me and gave me a word. Folks, when people that normally don't do that, you need to pay a special attention. And I believe it was a word for you. And so it was a word against suicide and ending your life. And so be encouraged. God knows you. One of the things we studied on Wednesday night, a couple Wednesday nights ago, we talked about Thomas, who you would call Doubting Thomas. I prefer to refer to him as the Apostle Thomas. And he made that great statement of unbelief. Unless I put my hands in the scars, unless I see him, unless I do this, I'll not believe. Oh, bad statement. But all of us have made statements like that, right? Jesus, a few days later, 8 days later, walks into the room, just comes right in. He looks at Peter and he says, extend your hands right here. Thomas, I'm sorry. He said, extend your hands right here. Touch me where I've been hurt. Put your hand in my side. And Thomas then makes this great statement of faith. And he said, blessed are you who have not seen and yet you believe. My thought on that was, Jesus had heard every word Thomas spoke. It wasn't good words. They were words of fear and doubt and unbelief. But Jesus heard them. He didn't come in that room and say, what was that Thomas said the other day? He started right immediately, Thomas, we need to address this. I've got news for you. If he heard Thomas, he hears you. When you're grumbling and complaining, uh-oh, the cat's not the only one listening, right? So it's just an encouragement to me to be careful what I say. So look to 2 Peter chapter 3. That's all the way towards the back of the book, right before Jude, John, Revelation. And he says in verse 14, he says, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all of his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things were hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do the rest of the scripture. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall by your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Father God, I thank you for the anointing upon your word. I thank you, Lord, that your word is spiritual. Your word is living. It's active. And it's able to penetrate our heart and our spirit today. And I thank you for that, God. I pray, Lord, as we just come before you, Lord, that we are asking you, Lord, to change the way we think. If we have some bad thinking, if we're thinking wrong in any area, God, we submit that to you right now and to the power of the Holy Spirit. And we ask him, Lord, to change and redirect us. And God, I don't know about the rest of these people, but I need redirected all the time. So Father, help me today to preach the word of God in truth and love. So Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be totally acceptable unto you. For you are my rock and my redeemer. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. In the second letter of Peter, he was addressing false teachers by and large through this whole three chapters. He just keeps coming back to the error that's being taught, and he's correcting them. And so, folks, whether you know it or not, from the pulpit, you've been taught error. If you've been in church any time at all, there's some things that you have been taught, maybe things that you have caught, right? Didn't just come right out of the mouth, but it may have been illustrated and walked out, that have not been godly. And so that's why we need a discerning spirit, and that's why the Holy Ghost, one of the gifts that He gives us is the spirit of discernment. So He allows you to see things, and so you've heard the old saying, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? Because years ago they took one little tub, filled it up with water, and all nine kids got in, and you were hoping that you were one of the older ones, because by the time the baby got in that bathtub, it was pretty nasty looking. And so it might have been dark, and you might have missed that child, so you just threw the child out with the bathwater. And so don't throw the baby out. Here's what I'm saying. We have got to be discerning. Some things you may hear, you may say, well, that's really not for me right now. So I just ponder those, Lord, and let you bring it back to my remembrance at the right time. And some things you'll say, well, that wasn't real full of faith. I don't believe I'll receive that. But then other things you're going to hear, you're going to say, well, that's for me. And it's for right now. And Lord, I embrace it. I'm willing to change. Folks, I'm not the only ones teaching you. I know you listen to podcasts. I know you're listening to the TV and to the radio and all kinds of voices out there teaching the Word of God. Right? And for the most part, I'm all about it. I'm like, yay, yay, yay. All the Word of God you can get in your heart is wonderful. But not all of it is directly from the throne. I don't know how to say it any clearer. Just be careful. Make sure it lines up with the Word of God. And let's try not to take verses out of context and make them say what we want them to say. So I titled this, Growing in Graceful Godliness, Growing in the Favor of God in a Godly Way. God wants you to be like Him. Godliness, holiness is separation, it's sanctification. So He is answering this question, when false teaching arises, what are we going to do? The way to overcome the counterfeit is to know the real. You gotta know the real. That's why you must develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. Because He is real. When a new teller goes to the bank and they begin to work with your cash, they do not show them a bunch of counterfeit. They don't say, see this is not true. See this is not. No, what they do is they give them the real. And they just let them handle the real. Just handle this. Just get the feel for it. Look at it. Study these bills. This is genuine. The more you deal with the real, the more the counterfeit sticks out. Don't make me come down there. Come on, you got to get y'all coming anyway. You know, you're exactly right. Knowledge in the Lord, knowledge is more than intellectual perception. I'm sorry that we have made the Word of God just about intellect. Knowledge of the Lord is personal. It's getting to know the person who wrote the book, right? If we just get knowledge, we'll get legalistic. But if we get knowledge in who He is, we get the Spirit that He interacts with, that He's teaching us with, and then we operate in love. And then you don't get convicted when your brother says, love God and love people. Okay. Sorry you didn't get that. We're to cultivate our own maturity in the Lord. In Philippians chapter 2, in other words, if you think God is going to do everything for you in your spiritual life, you're mistaken. God expects you to have some skin in the game. You're going to have to apply the Word. You're going to have to walk it out. You're going to have to study. You're going to have to do some things on your own. Philippians 2:12, he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That does not mean you get to make up your own rules. There is one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. You don't get to change that because you don't like it. You know, that, so, but He deals with us individually. And we need to be careful that we're not the Holy Spirit for somebody. Let the Holy Spirit deal with each one of us. We can pray for each other. We can love each other. But I don't want to be your teacher. I want Him to be your teacher. I want Him to know, I want you to know His voice more than my voice. I figured I'd get amen off that. So the first thing I see is He says, be diligent. Oh, this hit and miss Christianity that we're experiencing today is not from God. Come on, folks. Come on, I'm going to say it again until I hear an amen. This hit and miss Christianity is not from God. Thank you. God says be diligent. That means more than Sunday morning. I'm not talking about attendance. Don't get under conviction of that. I'm talking about attendance with Him. You need to be walking in the Spirit. I mean, when your eyes open up and your mind comes alert, the first thing you need to say is, good morning, Jesus, what you got planned for me today? I need your help today. So fill me with the power of the Holy Ghost so I can do your will. But He says this, He said, be diligent to be found in Him in peace or peaceful living. I think that sometimes we as Christians believe that peace is an option. It's like, well, today I'm really peaceful. Oh, yes. But tomorrow I'm just full of anxiousness. You get it? Peace is not an option. Peace is the blessing of God. God wants to bless you with peace. Is not just the absence of turmoil. You know, in the Hebrew, the word for peace is shalom. You know what it means? Nothing missing. Nothing broken. Complete. Whole. Anybody want to sign up for that? Every problem that you'll ever have, Jesus wants to be the solution. And He is the solution. And He says, with that, I want to bless you with peace. Now, I'm talking to you out of the guy that deals a lot with anxiety. You hear me? I'm not just screaming at you. I'm screaming at Eric. Did we serve decaf this morning or what? Good night. I don't like problems. I don't know about you. I need the Lord to walk with me so that I can feel that peace and walk in the peace. Shalom is tied to a covenant promise. So when He says, I want you to be diligent in walking in this peacefulness, it means we have a covenant. Please listen. We have a covenant with God that this peace that I'm talking to you is available for you. Now, you can leave it on the table if you want to. See, the way I see the Lord is there's a table spread and all the promises of God are on the table. And some of you have been taught, don't be selfish. So you come up and you pick and choose. Well, I guess I can take this one and I can take that one. Buddy, there's one time I'm going to be selfish, and that's when it's on the promises of God. I want everything I can get. So you better get to the table before me because I'm going to take a big old handbag. I'm just going to rake it off. You get what? It's a covenant. So what's a covenant? A covenant is the vow that I made to this young lady on the front row. I stood before the Lord and three preachers. Yes, three. Count them. And I made a covenant 42 years ago that I would honor her, that I would love her, that I would stand by her on good days and bad days. Where did we get such a wild ideal to do that? Him. He's made a covenant with us. And that covenant is tied to this. Galatians 3:13. He became the curse for us so that the blessing of Abraham could come down to me. One of the blessings that Abraham walked in was peace. Hallelujah. I'll take it. The second thing that I saw in the scripture is that our life is supposed to be pure and holy, without spot, blameless. When you read this, you're going to see a lot of Christianese, a lot of words that we use a lot in church that we may not really know what they mean. So this holy, without spot, and blameless, I think you know what the word blameless means. You can't point a finger. But righteousness is the quality of being right in the eyes of God. Righteousness is the quality of being right in the eyes of God, including our character, our conscience, our conduct, and our word, what you speak. God wants you to be righteous. Without righteousness, no man will see the Lord. Without holiness. Holiness, righteousness, very similar. Holiness is being separated for a specific work. We have all been called to do a work. You see, if God's whole intention of salvation was just to get you to heaven, He would have let you die when you said the prayer. Jesus, forgive me, and come in. But He didn't. He says, okay, now I want you to live for the next 50 years, and I want you to live it out. Live it for me. Live it holy. I'm sorry, this is not preached a lot in the podcast. Forget it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, "For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." Many people are taught today, you're not righteous. Yes, you are. You're not righteous in your own. You're righteous because of Jesus. It's a gift that if He's given you peace, bless the Lord. I want it. But He's also given you righteousness. Quit calling yourself something different. Call yourself righteous because He calls you righteous. And it changes the way you pray. Changes how you believe. So He wants us to be right in His eyes in character, who we are, and in our actions. Let me just get bold-faced, straightforward with you. You know, there are rules in life that you ought to obey. People don't like rules. We don't like rules in the church at all. But there are rules that we're supposed to obey. Do you know, when I go to the bathroom, I use the one that's got boys on it. I have never went into the women's restroom because I didn't like that. I don't like them telling me what to do. I'll use any restroom I want. No, come on. Well, you know, there's other doors around here that says personnel only. We seem to omit that. Seems like it just, well, that doesn't apply. Yeah, it applies to you. The rule, you know, I knew a guy who quit church because the pastor put up a sign over the sanctuary. It said, "No chewing gum in the church." He quit church over that. Ain't nobody going to tell me I can't chew gum in church. Folks, something's wrong with our heart when you can't go by the rules, because God's got rules. Why does God give us rules? So we can walk in the blessing. My son, my oldest son, Matt, when he was in college, I promise you I never taught him this. I promise you that he never observed me do this. But he would go to the restaurant and he would order water, and then he would get a glass of water and he would drink it. And every refill after that was Dr. Pepper. He loved Dr. Pepper. So in essence, he was stealing Dr. Pepper from the restaurant. And I know he was convicted every time he did it, but it's amazing what the more we do something, the less we hear the God's voice. And he persisted in this. Now, I didn't know about this. I promise you I didn't know. We would have had a conversation. Why? Because I know what happens after this. I knew it beforehand. See, when you persist doing your own thing, God's got to lift His hand off of you. Buddy, I don't want the hand of God to be lifted off of me because I'm stealing a Dr. Pepper. His blessing is more than 89 cents worth, I promise you. So one day after he had been at the restaurant, he'd stole his Dr. Pepper. He was out in the parking lot with a buddy throwing a football. Well, he threw one just a little hard. The guy who was receiving was a little clumsy, one or the other, but it went right through his hands and hit a windshield in a car, broke the windshield. Well, most windshields. There we go. So I would never have paid that money for that windshield because I knew God was teaching my son something extremely valuable in life. You cannot steal and be blessed. Folks, you can't lie. Now see, this is stuff that's not taught anymore. The Bible says all liars go to hell. Revelation 21:8. That's not a list I want to be a part of, right? So, but in the world that says, well, that's just a little white lie. No, no, there are no difference. It's either truth or it's a lie. Which one are you speaking? So, are you telling me God cares about those? I'm telling you absolutely God cares. See, you are his son or you are his daughter, and God wants to bless you. But he can only bless you if you align yourself with him. Doesn't mean I'm not teaching perfection. I'm teaching obedience. You know, I promise you that the first couple of times that my son stole the Dr. Pepper, God said, boy, we need to get this right. That's not right. But then when you persist, it's like when you don't heed the voice of God, God says, well, I'm going to give you a little bit stronger of a lesson. I knew a guy that when he was getting gas one day, this is years ago when the gas attendant would carry the cash and pump your gas, and the gas attendant happened to drop a $5 bill, which was enough, by the way, you guys won't believe this, but it was enough actually to buy lunch with years ago. And so he got in the car and he told his brother, who was a Christian, a preacher, and he said, he dropped that $5 bill. And the preacher Christian said, well, they charge really high prices for gas, so let's just keep that $5 and we'll have lunch on that. Buddy, all hell broke loose in his finances from then on. I'm not teaching legalism. I'm teaching if you want to walk under the blessing of God, you need to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Listen to the voice of God. So obey the rules. Don't use the girls' bathroom if you're a man. It's amazing what you got to teach in church today, right? Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit when we follow him. He says, the third thing he says, consider the long suffering and the patience of the Lord is salvation. What's he doing? He's referring you back to verse 9. Why has the Lord not already come? Because the Lord is not slack concerning our promises, but is faithful. But he's waiting for your family to be saved. God is giving us, why has the Lord not returned today? Because he is patient. But that's a good thing. Here, let me say it this way. If the Lord is patient for us to get saved, he is also patient in us maturing in righteousness. So when the Holy Spirit convicts you, what are you supposed to do? Repent. Father, I'm sorry I've done that. You know, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to go and I'm going to follow you. Peter ends with a strong warning. Since you know this beforehand, beware lest also that you fall from your own steadfastness. Again, it's a doctrine that's being taught in the church that you can't fall. And all through the New Testament, they talk about apostasy. They talk about falling. He's saying, be careful when you think you're standing. It's amazing how we can fool ourselves, but you're not fooling the Holy Spirit. So we need to develop this relationship with God where we're clean before Him, where we're honest before Him, where we allow Him. I pray this all the time. Holy Spirit, shine your light in my heart. I might be fooling myself on some things. Let me know. Is there any vile thing? Is there any wicked thing that I'm doing? I want to know. Okay, so turn in your Bibles, because He tells us all these things. He just doesn't really tell us how to accomplish them. Now, the wisdom is wonderful. He tells you, you know, don't believe these false teachers. We need to walk in righteousness. We need to walk in peace, so that we don't fall. But in Psalms 1, I feel like He answers the question on how we do this. He says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they're like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The blessed life. Anybody want to live a blessed life? You know, the New Testament would call that the happy, our joyful life. The blessed life is walking with the Lord. And He says the very first thing, He says the peaceful life is one that does not allow ungodly people to influence your walk. Sounds simple, right? Not so simple. We don't quite understand the full impact that this world is making in our soul. If you think that TV is not designed to change the way you think, you're wrong. Hollywood is trying to modify your behavior by getting you to think a certain way. You better be careful what you put before your eyes. You better be careful what you read. We need to be cautious. We need to be wise. So this whole thing, the chapter 1 of Psalms is like, here's a twofold book. On the right is blessed, on the left is not. Make sure you're on the right. Right? Make sure that you're living the blessed life. And the blessed life is one that realizes and knows the influence of ungodly people, the influence of ungodly information, and how it's designed to, they're designing the things to tear your thoughts down. The things that you were taught in Sunday school as a little child are now being attacked by the world. There was a day when we said Satan doesn't just come in all big and large, but he just sort of slides in with this little stuff. That day is gone. Today he's coming in big and large. He's just going after it, right? Because he knows his time is short. So the very basic truths that we were taught, don't lie, don't steal, don't, those basic truths are now being challenged by the world. Well, it's not always wrong to lie. You don't want to hurt people's feelings. You know, we've got to the point where we can't handle the truth. Dear Lord, I'm quoting a movie. You can't handle the truth. Folks, we need to be able to handle truth. Even if it's against us. Rather than getting mad at the person speaking truth to you, accept it as from the Lord, that the Lord is trying to preserve me. The Lord is trying to bless me. And then the next couple of lines, he says, don't walk, don't sit and don't stand. Those are progressive things. So I was watching a commercial about insurance the other day, Colonial Penn or something. And these two ladies were walking, and all of a sudden they stopped, and she said, "Oh, is that right? You know, you've got my interest. Tell me more." And then they go to the table, and then they sit down, and now she's a student. See, we're walking down the road, and Satan's whispering in our ear. And it may be through TV, it may be through a magazine, it might be through your parents. Not everything Grandma taught you is right. You better take it back to the throne. Take it to the Word. I've had to stand in this pulpit and say, "Folks, I taught you something last week that the Spirit of the Lord has told me that wasn't right." Those are not pleasant times. I don't like doing that. But I love His Word, and I love His Spirit, and I love you. And I want you to hear truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them by truth. John 17:17. So when you're walking down the way, and somebody, maybe a buddy's just talking to you, and he's telling you, "You know, I can teach you how to steal a little bit from that place you work." And all of a sudden you stop and say, "Yeah, how would you do that?" And he said, "Well, let's sit down. I'll give you a formula." All right. Bless God. How am I going to get some of that? You get it? You know, that's the way the devil operates. He puts that little candy cane out there. He said, "I think that woman's flirting with you. I'm looking at just women. That's a bad thing." And that's probably true today. "Hey, that woman's flirting with you. I think she likes you." And all of a sudden you're like, "Well, why wouldn't she? Look at the whole package, would you?" Yeah. The devil wants to entice you to where he gets your attention and you stand still. And then, boy, he's really pouring it on. And now you sit down and you say, "Would you show me exactly how we can do this?" Because Satan's next line is this: "And nobody will ever know. You'll get away with this one." And then you know what happens? He's the one that exposes you. Satan's a liar, folks. Every word that comes out of his mouth is a lie. Romans 12:1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Holy and acceptable to God. And then he goes on in verse 2 and he says, "And don't be conformed to this world." And that's what the world is doing. That's the pressure that you feel every day of your life, is the world trying to conform the way you think. See, the way you think is the way you will act. Thoughts come first, actions come second. For some reason, we get in the church and we think, "I've got to change my actions." No, you need to let the Lord change your thoughts. Tell him, put an axe to the root of that tree that's causing this bad fruit. Woo, I'm preaching better than you're shouting. He says, "Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Oh, it's a good thing when God begins to mess with your head. Right? When he says, "You know, all that you've been taught as a kid, it ain't right. Now let's reprogram this thing up here." He says in Isaiah 55, he said, "Your thoughts are not my thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. My ways are higher than your ways." But in 1 Corinthians 2:16, I think it's 1 Corinthians, either 1st or 2nd, he says, "But I've given you the mind of Christ." My problem is I just don't walk in that a whole lot. I thank you, Lord, you gave me that mind, but I choose not to use it right now. I think I've got this figured out. Oh, Jesus, how many times I've said that. He goes on, he says, this guy that's walking in the blessing, his delight is in the law of the Lord. He loves your word. And he meditates on it day and night. I've told you what meditate means. It means chew the cud. Tony and I talk about this a lot. He'll come in my office and he said, I've been chewing on this verse. I know what he means. I've been meditating on this verse. There are times in your life when the Lord will lead you just to read chapter upon chapter upon chapter, just devour it all. And then there's times in your life when the Lord will say, stop at this verse. I want you to get this verse. You'll read one verse and chew on it all day long. That's the blessed life. What's God doing? He's trying to change the way you've been thinking. I'm amazed at what believers don't know today. I don't know how to say that any other way. People living together, not ashamed of it. I'm not talking about the world. Folks, I don't expect much from them. I expect a lot from the body of Christ. Sin is still sin. We don't keep them around here very long. They get mad at me for some reason. Meditation will shape our thinking, our attitudes, and our action. In 2 Timothy, he says, study to show yourself approved. Study. Study the Word. Not just on Sunday when it's being preached to you. But every day, you ought to be in that Word saying, God, show me some truth. Give me something. And he says, study to show thyself approved by God, a workman that needs not be ashamed. And listen to these last few words, rightly dividing, rightly discerning, so that we don't become legalistic, but become right. Rightly dividing the word of truth. If you want to rightly divide the word of truth, keep it in context. Don't pull it out. Because if you pull it out of the context, you might make it say anything. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 and 5:18, he says, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. There's two things that you need to develop in your life. It's a prayer life and a thankfulness. Those two things will help you probably more than anything else. We are not a grateful people any longer. I don't know if you've noticed that. I just feel like we just think we're entitled to everything. You know, one of the reasons I love older people so much is because I know they paved the way for me. I'm a young man. Don't get that confused. Does that make sense to you? Do you know there was a day when Pentecost would come to a town, they would kick them out of the town? They'd drive them out. They didn't want them. Those people paid a price so that you could come and worship today. Thank you. Most of you are gone on, you know, to be with the Lord. But thank you. Thank you for those that are older than me that walk this walk out so that I could look at you and say, do you know I never saw a good marriage? I have a wonderful marriage. But I never saw one growing up. That's why I didn't ever want to get married. Held out till I was 19. It wasn't until I saw a pastor come to our church, and honest to goodness, this is what I thought. I think he likes his wife. I never seen a marriage where it looked like the man liked her. That's my family. I didn't say we were right. I didn't say we were smart. I said we confused, right? But thank God there was a man that came to our church that could illustrate to me what a godly marriage looked like. Do you realize people are watching you everywhere? So when you live like the world and claim to be a Christian, it confuses them. That's why Peter is so blatantly strong with his language, right? Here's the way we need to be. So develop a prayer life. Develop being thankful for what the Lord has done for you. He said the promise is this. You're going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You know, water in the scripture most of the time is symbolic of the Spirit of the Lord. It says you're going to be a tree that's planted by the Spirit. Your roots are going to go so deep. They're going to get into a stream down there that when the drought happens, it's not going to affect that tree. That's the promise from the Lord for you. It's a promise from the Lord for those who love His Word. Those who are willing to meditate on it day and night. The last of that says, and whatever he does prospers. Oh, come on. Don't listen to the preachers on TV. Prosperity is not about how much cash you got in your bank account. Prosperity is knowing that you are right with God. Prosperity is knowing that when I die, I go to heaven. Prosperity is knowing that my children will be there with me because the promise of God is true. May not look like it right now, but it doesn't matter what it looks like. I don't go by what I look or feel. I go, thank you. I go by what I believe the Word says, right? God's Word oversees what you feel, what you, any, the five senses, knock them off. Believe the Word. His Word says if you'll train up a child in the way he'll go, when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now in the middle, he may stray away a little bit. But there's a day coming when you can believe God, God, you're going to bring them back. And don't be so heavy-handed that every time God deals with them, I've got to help change them. I'm going to intercede because they're getting disciplined by the Lord. You just don't know it's discipline from the Lord. So we jump in there. Dear Jesus, the angels won't even do that, but we're so stupid, we will. Bless God, I'm sorry. Shouldn't have used that. You said, I don't let my kids use that. You're not stupid, you're uninformed. Is that better? He says, but the ungodly are not so. And then he gives you three pictures to describe them. He says they're like chaff. Chaff, when they would go and reap the wheat, they would break it. And with a mill, they would break that and they would throw it up in the air. And the wind would blow off the other, but the seed that they wanted that they could eat would fall to the ground. The chaff would blow away. One of David's prayers is, why are the unrighteous prospering? I don't get it. There's judgment day is coming. God deals with it all in the end. So don't get your eyes on why are the wicked prospering and I'm not. You just keep walking with Jesus, prospering. If you seek Him first and His righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. You don't have to seek a spouse. A spouse will seek you. You don't have to seek money. Money will seek you. Now I'm preaching like a prosperity preacher. Said they're like chaff. They're condemned at judgment. You are not. When you get to judgment day, He'll say, come on in. You're covered in the blood of Christ. I'm not righteous because I'm good. I'm righteous because He's good, and He gave me His righteousness. Eric, you still mess up almost every day. And he says, sinners have no place in God's kingdom, and they'll perish for eternity. But we will live in God's place designed for us. Do you know that hell was not intended for man? It's a place of judgment. God doesn't want any to go to hell. He wants everyone to be saved. He wants everyone to walk this blessed life. But there are things that you have to do. There are things when the Holy Spirit reveals to you, you're wrong in this, you need to get it right. You need to repent. Repentance is good. Repentance, when the Lord says, hey, I love it when people come to me and say, you know, I said something to you, and the Lord has really convicted me on that, and I just wanted to apologize to you about that. And I'm thinking, don't remember that. Now, that's not uncommon at all. Don't remember that. That didn't bother me, but it bothered you, and that's good. You ought to be more sensitive towards the things that come out of your mouth than I am, in other words.
Thank God for people that are so sensitive to God that it's the small, minute things that they're apologizing for. Because if they're apologizing for the small, minute things, the things that I didn't even notice, then that means when the big things are coming, they're saying, Jesus, put this under the blood, forgive me. What do you do when you sin? You don't try to hide it from God. He heard every word that Thomas said. He can hear you too. Everything's laid open and bare before the Lord. Don't hide your sin. David says, when I hid my sin, my bones waxed within me. I felt like there was decay on the inside. The best thing that we can do when conviction comes is say, Jesus, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Let's get this out. Forgive me. Wash that away. Get it away from me. I want to walk in the blessing of God. I want to be blessed in every area of my life. I'm closing. The last thing this prayer said was the Lord watches over the path of the righteous. When you're walking with Him, God is one step ahead of you. God is preparing the way. God is making your way. You know, Treva and I sold our house and we're moving. And that just didn't work out the way we had it planned. We had a house picked out that we thought, oh, this would be really nice. And they wouldn't take a contingency offer, so I put my house up for sale. And the day I sold my house for sure, I went back and I said, I'd like to place an offer on that house. And they said, oh, they took that off the market and they won't even entertain offers right now. Whoa, what a curveball. Okay, Lord, what do I do now that I'm homeless? Will you trust me? Yeah, I'll trust you, Jesus. I don't get upset too much in this area because He's been so faithful. I've bought and sold houses since I was 20 years old. So I've seen the Lord just, sometimes it's on the last day. Now, I don't really like that, Lord, when you do that way. But you get what I'm saying? We're just walking this thing out. See, if I didn't firmly believe that the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord, I would be in panic. I'd be in panic mode. But I believe the Word. I mean, I really do. I don't always live it out, but I believe the Word. And if His Word says that He orders my step, then I believe this. God didn't want me to have that first house. I wanted it so bad I couldn't hear His voice. That's just as honest as I know how to say it. So what's He do? He let me sell my house and then He closed the door. Okay, Lord, where are we going now? Right? Are you getting this? So life doesn't always look the way we think. Doesn't always look the way I planned it. But I have to believe. That's the life that I have chosen in Him, is to believe God that no matter what happens, He's ordering my steps. It's the Word. It's the Word. How many of you say, life is turning out just the way I had it planned? Yeah, get ready if that's you. There's some curveballs coming. And you better walk with Jesus so that you don't go off the bridge. So that you can keep walking with Him. The Bible says, I believe it's in Galatians 5:17. He says, keep in step with the Holy Ghost. Keep in step. I thought I was supposed to lead Him. Most of my life, I'm two steps ahead of God. Well, because I'm so bright. Buddy, that gets you in trouble. So you don't go ahead of Him, but you don't lag behind. You keep in step. Where are we going? I feel like I'm at a wedding. Where are we going, Holy Ghost? He knows. He probably won't share with you. Not until it's time. But He knows the destiny that He has planned for you, and it's a good one. And what we have to do is trust Him and walk with Him. And when these little things come up, these little things that you have a choice, that I can either pretend like I didn't do it, or I can realize I did do it, and I'm asking you to forgive me. That's what Peter's dealing with. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. You see, the more you tolerate sin in your life, the more sin will accumulate. Oh, I wasn't thinking about that. That was good. Thank you. Did you write that down? Somebody needs to write that. I'll put that in the next sermon. Stand with me. There's 3 points that I really wanted you to get. God does not want you full of anxiety. I'm talking to some people. God wants you to walk in peace. You may need His help. God will help you in the walk of righteousness. You know, the way we started this out was me giving you a word that I felt like was from the Lord. It's not by might. It's not by power. Even your walk of righteousness is not by might. It's by the Spirit of the Lord. So it's very possible today that you have heard some things and conviction has happened in your heart. Deal with it, because that's a great thing. And third, the Lord wants you to win. I don't think we're taught that a lot in church anymore. So many churches are teaching that God's mad at you. He's not. God loves you. God doesn't want anyone to perish, but all to have eternal life. God's will for mankind is to join Him in heaven. But He's made us to have a choice. And you have a choice today. Don't let ungodly people influence you. They're going to try. Let the Word and the Spirit be your influence. I've been saying this a whole lot lately. But the Word of God plus the Spirit of God creates sons of God. The Word of God plus the Spirit of God creates sons of God. Would you bow your head with me? Father God, I have preached the word that you have given me. It wasn't always pleasant to preach, but Lord, I preached it to the best of my ability. I have tried to walk in your Spirit. I tried to surrender everything of me at this altar this morning. So I pray with all my heart that folks have heard the Spirit of the Lord and the word of truth. God, I don't believe that you give us a sermon like this unless there's things that you want us to deal with. So I pray right now for this congregation, for each individual, that the Spirit of God, as He did with me last week, shows me where I'm guilty, what I've been doing wrong. And Father, rather than hiding that or rather than getting mad, I just surrender it, God. I willingly admit, yes, I was not loving my brother the way I should have. And I ask you to forgive me. And it's amazing the love that I felt come into my heart. So God, I pray right now that the Spirit of God washes over this congregation, each and every individual. Lord, I pray that you would individualize this sermon to them, and that anything that's going on in their life that's not godly, if they've been flirting with the enemy, if they've been entertaining thoughts that's not godly, I pray, Father, Lord, that we would surrender them right now and get them out of our heart. I pray, God, that you would come into our mind and straighten out our thinking. God, reconnect our minds so that we would think the thoughts of Christ. Help us to surrender them. Deal with the strongholds of our life, God. Father, we are your kids and you love us, but we ought not be stealing Dr. Pepper. So God, if we're doing something like that, may the conviction of the Holy Spirit come right now and deal with us. And let us surrender that. Let us say we're sorry. Father, we choose to say we'll never do that again. We're going to walk in the counsel of the godly, not the counsel of the ungodly. God, I pray for those that deal with anxiety. God, I pray that they would walk in peace. I pray that the peace of the Holy Ghost, that righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit would be theirs. And when that spirit, and it is a spirit, when that spirit of fear and anxiety comes upon them, God, help them to know that's not of you, but love, power, and a sound mind is. So I accept the spirit of love. I accept the spirit of a sound mind. and I choose to walk with you, God. And I choose to tell the devil to take a hike and take his anxiety with him, because I'm not walking in that any longer. And I choose to say this, I'm peaceful. I'm a peaceful person because of you. And I thank you, Lord. And I'm thankful for it. Thank you, Lord. I don't worry anymore. I don't have to. I trust you. Thank you, Lord, for the lessons that got me here. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. Now, hang with me one more second. Now, if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus in your heart, just lift your voice before the Lord and tell him, Father, forgive me, because I am a sinner. Forgive me. I confess that Jesus is Lord, and I believe that he died on the cross so that I could have eternal life. I know through this sermon that there's only one way, and that way is Jesus. And I accept your way, and I ask you to come into my heart, fill me with your spirit, make me a new creature in Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer today, you make sure you tell somebody. Tell somebody, I ask Jesus in my heart today. They'll celebrate with you. Brother Denny, come. Thank you for being patient with me. If you got a little bit more excited at the beginning of this, it wouldn't have went so long. No.
Don't forget, if you didn't get a bulletin, if you hadn't got a bulletin for this month, grab one on your way out. The Tuesday night men's group that normally meets here will meet at the Lodge's house again this week. So I think Mary said something about cooking everybody steaks when you get there. So you might want to make sure you can make it to that, because all that great stuff. So don't forget men's breakfast this weekend, ladies' brunch. I don't know why you guys get brunch and we have breakfast. Brunch seems fancier. I don't know. And yes, on the grief support group on at 2 o'clock on Thursdays, I believe. So if that's something that you need, it's there and available for you. So raise your hand, receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you, and may he keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Go in peace and serve the Lord.